Welcome to Big Show Hour 4 here, live from the Doug Lacey Basement Systems downtown studio. Apologies, we kept our next guest on the line a little bit too long. Got a little bit late here to a start, but we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, and we are joined by Commissioner of the Canadian Premier League, Mark Noonan. He's in Calgary ahead of the Cavalry FC's home opener on Sunday against Pacific. Mark, thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning. Apologies for getting to you a little bit later, but how are we doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. Hello, Calgary.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for hopping on. What brings you out to our fair city for the home opener?
Well, you've got a home opener, and your home team is one of our great clubs in our league, and it's always amazing to go out to ATCO Field and at Spruce Meadows and see some great football. Incredible atmosphere, and I try to get out to as many matches as I possibly can to understand the stadium experience, to meet with ownership and management, to say hello to the amazing foot soldiers and supporters, and really take it all in and see what it is that we can continue improving.
Mark, what makes Cavalry FC such a leader in this league? I know they were one of the founding fathers of this league way back in its infancy days. But what makes it such a leader in this league 6 years on, but not only on the pitch but off the pitch?
It starts with great ownership and great leadership. The Southern family have been fantastic stewards of the club since day one. You have consistency at the top with Ian Allison running the club. And you have great consistency when you have a guy like Mason Trafford, who was an incredible servant on the field, and now he has made a transition into the front office and, you know, having an opportunity to continue contributing to the club after his playing career is open. You've got Tommy Wilden Jr., who's one of the great managers in our league and a terrific spokesperson for the league. So they just do things in a first-class manner. And they created an incredible atmosphere for viewing the game at ATCO Field at Spruce Meadows. So I think if you look at all the things you need to be successful in our league, they are top in all of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. They got a venue to boot, and just you mentioned Spruce Meadows, and it's different. It's, you know, it's a converted horse jumping facility turned into a one of their stadiums into a football stadium. Just talk about with Spruce Meadows for you as not a Calgarian resident, as somebody who comes from out of town. Just what's it like walking into Spruce? It's an experience unlike any other across the league.
It sure is. It's fun. I mean, you can see people that there's a reason to go there before the game.
Yeah.
There's a reason to go there, hang out after the game. I love, you know, as a football purist, I love grass. In Canada, sometimes that's hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, having a fantastic grass field is something that I think is terrific to see. And it is a really unique atmosphere. And I think, you need reasons to differentiate yourselves as a young league, and I think the setting at Spruce Meadows does that.
Yeah, it is certainly an experience for sure. Cavalry takes on Pacific, 3 o'clock start down at Spruce Meadows at ATCO Field on Sunday. Mark, we mentioned it's still a young league, still growing, entering its sixth year. Overall, just like, how is business? Like, the footprint of the league, it's growing not just beyond these borders, but beyond it.
Yeah, I think that we're in as good a place as we've ever been. I talk a lot about how we, you know, building leagues is hard, building clubs is hard, building culture is hard, and it takes time. You know, we're not going to be the English Premier League overnight. But the fact that we're entering our sixth year, and you see the quality of play that Cavalry is putting out there in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Mm-hmm. You know, we're building this great foundation of a beautiful house. And, you know, the foundation is as solid as it's ever been. And now we need to continue adding to this this beautiful house that we're building over the years. And it is going to be a beautiful house over time.
You've been through, you know, had a pandemic, you ended up playing a season anyways out on Prince Edward Island. So, yeah, it's a good league, and it's still strong, and it's going. I cannot wait to see what the future takes us. Now, around the league, got some new owners out for York United, the Pasquale brothers. I know it can be tough in a market going head-to-head with an MLS club, especially when it is Canada's largest market. But the early returns, it's been going all right there in York. How have the Pasquale brothers taken York United?
Yeah, they've been fantastic. They're football people through and through, and you know, their family has been involved in Liga MX and for many years, as well as the Mexican Federation. So they know the game. Mm-hmm. They've got incredible connections in the game, and you know, it's a testament to what we're building in the Canadian Premier League that they saw an opportunity that didn't exist anywhere else in the world. And not only did they buy into to York, but they're all in. They're moving. They've moved their families. I mean, they are living, working in Toronto and are all in. But they're also giving us connections into the much broader soccer world in Mexico and around the world, which is really, really important. We're part of this global game.
Exactly.
And we need to be able to connect all over the world when people have a game at ATCO Field. There's 35 countries watching.
Exactly.
And it's a great commercial for our sport.
And that's what I mean. That's where, like, if somebody isn't a soccer fan or a footy fan, they like, this is the one sport out of all of them that is so intertwined with every other league and every other federation around the planet. And I know, Canada, we like a strong Canadian base for sure, and there are strong Canadian owners, but is it important to have, you see in Ottawa, you have Atletico Madrid control a franchise. They name them Atletico Ottawa. You have the Mexican contingent with the Pasquale brothers owning York United. Is it important to have ownership from not just Canada, but from around the globe, just to bring you, like you mentioned, just different eyes and different voices into the game?
Yeah, you think about the credibility. I would argue that Atletico Madrid is one of the top 5 to 10 clubs
100%.
In the world in this sport. And again, the fact that they believe in what they're building and they're putting their brand on the field in Ottawa, and you get people like the Pasquales, who've got that connection down to the Mexican First Division. It just shows you that people who know football know that we're building something really special here. And this is just the beginning. We are an absolute babe in the woods as it relates to the global game. But smart football money is coming into our league and understands what we're building. And they're helping us build it, too. The fact that we can tap into their knowledge and their contacts and their experiences has been incredibly helpful for us.
Now with all the good that's happened to the league with the additions, now there's been, FC Edmonton lost their club with some not so great ownership, and now we've seen Valor struggle a little bit there in Winnipeg. Is what's the league doing about Valor FC's situation?
The status quo. We've got a great stadium, a great operator there. We'd love to find them a partner who really is deeply seated in the game. But we've got a terrific partner there, and one of the best venues that we have in our league. And I have confidence that they will they'll continue to support that club and do a great job. And if we can find them a little help on the soccer side, because if you look at them on the Canadian football,
the Bombers kill it.
Gridiron football, one of the great franchises in that league. So we got good operators. They perhaps need a partner on the soccer side to really realize the potential there, and so that's that challenge. It relates to Edmonton. Mm-hmm. I was at MLS when we were a 12-team league, and we ended up having to disband two teams, Miami and Tampa, at the time, going down to a 10-team league. Six of those teams were owned by one guy, Phil Anschutz. As I say, building leagues is hard, and we really believe in Edmonton as a market. We just didn't have the right conditions to be successful at the time, and as painful as it was the right decision at the right time to do that. But we hope to be back in Edmonton really soon, because we know there's a great rivalry in Calgary, and geographically it makes sense. And it's a great soccer market, so it's high on our list to get back to.
I know in this sport, away days matter so much. And, you know, that was a big thing with Cavalry supporters, you know, being able to go up to Edmonton. You know, it wasn't that far. And, you know, York has it with Hamilton. And in a country that's so vast, it's nice to have some local rivalries. So one day we hope Edmonton has a team again. And then you had an expansion team last year. Like I said, you can track, but you also expanded out to another market that has an MLS side in it in Vancouver with Vancouver FC. Overall, I thought year one looked pretty good on TV. I've been out there to watch a game, and they're off to a great start this year. Just overall, how are they dealing with another MLS market dealing out there in the Fraser Valley? But we know that's a soccer hotbed.
Yeah, there's plenty of room for everybody. We wouldn't have gone there if we didn't believe that there was a fan base in the lower mainland. And you know, they're doing a great job on and off the field. You know, it's hard starting a franchise, but if you look at the back half of their season last year, that team really came on.
Oh, yeah.
And they've made some moves in the off season that I think have really helped them. On the field, and the fun thing about that club is that they're taking a very that lens on players from the area,
mm-hmm.
British Columbia. They brought in a guy like Paris G from York, and Ben Fisk from Calgary.
Yeah.
Guys that are from that area, and then they're growing the young talent in that area with kids like TJ Tahid and.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like that are making a difference, and so they've taken a lens on BC, which is going to be really interesting to watch.
We're talking with Mark Noonan, Commissioner of the Canadian Premier League. Now, we needed a domestic league to have the national team succeed, and we're seeing that now. Canada Soccer is entering a level that they've never ever had before. You obviously get into the World Cup in Qatar, hosting co-hosting in 2026. What's the relationship like with the league right now with the National Federation?
Yeah, we are a member, and we're really important to the National Federation. We've not only put 10 guys already on the senior national team
yep.
that participated, who have played, that came through our system. But we're now starting to see the junior national teams with some of the talent that we're developing. You know, a lot of people don't know about League One,
mm-hmm.
but it's a mm-hmm. Division III league that about 10% of all League One players go on to earn professional contracts, and many of the men's and women's national team players come through the League One system that we own and operate. And so we're building a pyramid of development across this country that never existed before, and that can only be additive to what's happening with the national team, because we didn't really have that system in the past.
Yeah.
And you know, what we're doing is building that ecosystem, and we're going to get better and better at it over the years.
Yeah, building your own little pyramid, that's super awesome. And it's like, it's something, you know, growing up as a fan like of this sport, you know, there wasn't a lot of us, and now to see it just grow and grow, it's super super exciting to see that we have a seat at the table in the global game. Overall, Mark, the future of this league, it feels like it's positive right now. You know, the stands are filled. It's great league. Just what's your goals for this future? I'm sure it's expansion. I'm sure you want to get the league into more viewers around the world. But what are some of your goals that you want to see this league to have over the next 5 years or so?
You know, I think ultimately we're going to double the size of the league probably in the next decade. And we're going to be going to places that, you know, leagues, respectfully, that are governed out of New York would never go to, whether that's Halifax
yeah.
or the Pacific. And so we're excited about being the Canadian Premier League and, you know, giving Canadians opportunities that they've never had, both on the field, but also to continue their careers off the field. You look at a guy like Jordan Wilson on One Soccer, and he is a star in the media. He's an unbelievable commentator. He's got such, you know, great insights and a charisma that he brings to the screen. You know, 2 years ago he was playing at York United, and now
yeah.
he's extended his career. Drew Becky is working the front office of Ottawa, or a bunch of guys who are in the coaching ranks. And so that's what we're so excited about, is building these ecosystems and creating opportunities for Canadians to stay in Canada and grow the game. that's never existed before. And that's one of, that's the prime reason why people should come out and support their local club, mm-hmm. or if they don't have a local club yet, you know, go and buy a subscription to One Soccer and tune into the matches that are around, because this is your league, Canada, and we need you all to support it, and we need to do as good a job as we can giving you reasons to care about this league.
Mark, it's only going to get bigger and bigger as we get closer to 2026 and the World Cup. Has the CPL kind of like figured out what they're going to be doing like schedule wise by 2026? Because I know it's going to be on at the same time as the league season. Is there going to be a break? Is there going to be, these guys just going to keep rolling on? Like what? How's the, if you've even started planning ahead that far?
Yeah, we absolutely have started planning. Scheduling is one of the trickiest things that you do. When you think about it, we've got three different competitions. We've got our league. Mm-hmm. We've got the TELUS Canadian Championships. We've got the CONCACAF Champions Cup for our top clubs. And so we have to spend a lot of time thinking about schedule. And we've already started that with as it relates to 2026. We haven't, landed on any definitive plans, but mm-hmm. the thinking has already started on that. And it's just, the next couple of years are going to be so exciting. In soccer, we've got the women's national team playing in the Olympics. Yep. We've got men's national team playing in Copa America. There's going to be a Club World Cup down in the U.S. in 2025, yep. Gold Cup, and then obviously 2026 for the men and 2027 for the women, which will probably be in the U.S. and Mexico. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. These next several years are going to be amazing for people that love soccer in Canada.
Catch the wave, man. It's a great time to be a fan of this sport or a new fan of this sport because, you have a league right in your own backyard and it's doing some really good things. Mark, thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning. Hopefully we'll see you down there on Sunday and we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and thanks for covering our league and our sport. And I hope to see a lot of you all out at the stadium on Sunday.
For sure, Mark. Thank you so much, buddy. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
There you go, Mark Noonan, Commissioner of the Canadian Premier League. League's been doing some great work here, entering its sixth year. Can't believe it's already year six. Calgary will have their official CPL home opener on Sunday against Pacific FC out of Victoria. They've already been at home once in their Canadian Championship game. They won 1-0 over Vancouver FC. And they'll get Whitecaps here in a couple weeks' time to play a two-leg quarterfinal. So the Whitecaps will be through here on May 7th and then out on May 21st or 22nd, I believe. They'll play the return leg at BC Place in Vancouver. But of course, Mark joined us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. I want to thank Laura over at the CPL for setting that one up. Around the corner, it would be a cool chat with Owen McNeil, Okotoks Oilers forward. It's been a kind of fun, different year for a certain group of players and teams that left the AJHL to join the BCHL. Going to kind of get a vibe check with how the Okotoks Oilers have been handling that. Owen McNeil, around the corner. That's next. His big show, Hour 4, continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Big one tonight in Brooks, Alberta. Game 5 of the Alberta Division semifinal in the BCHL between the Okotoks Oilers and the Brooks Bandits. Series tied at 2 between these two premier junior A programs in our province. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We're joined by one of the Okotoks Oilers players, forward for the Oilers, Owen McNeil. Owen, thank you so much for taking some time. I know it's a game day, but hope your morning's going well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, buddy. You're coming off of a hat trick there in a big game 4 win. That's got to be a pretty good feeling for sure. But overall, just how's the playoffs and the season been for you?
Yeah, no, it was obviously nice to get a hat trick there and get the win in front of our crowd and kind of split the series there. So looking forward to it now. It can kind of go either way. And yeah, it's been a pretty good year. Interesting, obviously making the move over to the BCHL from the AJ. But, I think it was the right move and our guys are pretty excited for it. And it's been a pretty eventful year and we're hopefully hoping to win here.
For sure. I know like we don't have to get in the semantics of why the five clubs decided to go to the BCHL, but overall, how is that? I know it was like mid-season. I'm sure you were hearing some things in the background, but maybe you guys were kind of caught off guard by it, but how is it moving leagues mid-year for you guys?
Yeah, no, for sure. We were caught off guard. It was it just kind of happened overnight, and then, you know, kind of a stalemate there for two or three weeks where we weren't playing, and they were kind of figuring out the logistics of the league. And, yeah, it was different for sure, but, you know, I think it was the right move, a little more competitive over in the BCHL. So, inevitably, it was the best thing to do. So, yeah, we're excited about it. And in the moment, it was obviously difficult. But once we got playing again, guys were pretty pumped up.
Oh yeah, I could totally imagine. I know the BCHL, like I know the reasons why they did it. So I'm not really gonna go into that, but I understand it from your guys' perspective as well. I know you spent some time with Medicine Hat last year. You captained the Tigers as well. But how was that transition from the Dub to such a premier Junior A programs in the country?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously it was unfortunate. Having to leave Medicine Hat, but at the same time, it was pretty awesome to start fresh in Okotoks. And obviously, it's a little different coming from the major junior to junior A, but you know, still a lot of great players, a lot of really good NCAA guys. And
for sure.
You know, I try to find the best organization and most professional, like major junior, and Okotoks does a great job like that. So it was a pretty easy decision to come here and. Got adjusted pretty quick. A lot of guys I played with growing up and guys throughout the city. So it was a pretty easy adjustment, and I've had a blast of the year, so it's been great.
That's good. That's good to hear. Talk about the barn down there in Okotoks. I know the fans are crazy. I know like when you guys were all in the AJHL, Brooks and Okotoks, like they were some of the best barns to go to. But how have the fans been supporting you guys so far?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, you know, they had the home ice advantage for the weekend games, but we still had great fans on the weekday games and the start of the series here. So, yeah, it's been awesome. I think we set a record attendance for the year this year. So, obviously, that's a testament to our fans and how well we're playing. So, yeah, they've been great, and I think we're going to have a big crowd Sunday here as well.
Yeah, it's a best of three right now. It is a tied series 2-2. Winner gets to go to the Alberta final. But, you know, what's the preparation like in? Because, you know, it's not going to be a long series. You know, a win here, you're one win away from moving on. You lose, you need to win the next one. So what's the mental prep like heading into a best of three right now?
Yeah, I think just stick to our game. You know, we've had success being physical with them and playing fast. And, you know, I think a lot of people didn't expect us to win. So I think we got nothing to lose and go out there and play like we've been playing. You know, the key is can't get too high, can't get too low. And, you know, in short series like this. So, whoever has the fastest mind moving forward and, can forget about things the fastest and play with speed and aggression will obviously do well. So I think it's just keep doing what we're doing and enjoy it and have some fun with it.
Talk to me about your head coach, Tyler Dees.
Yeah, he's been great to me. Obviously, like I said, a little bit of a unique situation for me at the start of the year coming down. And Tyler was, you know, one of the first guys to reach out. And he's been awesome for me and, you know, my last year development, last year junior. And yeah, it's been pretty great. And obviously as a head coach, he does a great job with a winning program for so many years. And, you know, this year we're hoping we can do it and get a championship. And, yeah, so I think he runs a pretty professional system and it's been great to me so far.
Hockey doesn't stop for you after this season ends. You're going to be heading down the youth sport route, going out to London, Ontario, and Western University to play with the Mustangs in the fall. How excited are you to continue the next part of your hockey career?
Yeah, you know, it's been a crazy junior ride, and I can't believe it's already over.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm really excited to go to youth sports. It's a hell of a league, really underrated.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
You know, really excited about that, and I got a lot of Med Hat guys I played with out in London. So looking forward to enjoying it out there. And it's a great school. So when the opportunity came, it's pretty hard to pass up. But yeah, no, looking forward to the new challenge for sure.
You had your, I don't want to say your development like stunted or anything, but you played through the pandemic. Like, a lot of guys were affected in different ways and whatnot, but just like, how was that time period for you? Because I think about it, I just feel so bad for you guys. You know, like, it was WHL, you were playing a season, but then, hey, like, there's no playoffs here at the end of it. But just like, how was that time period for you guys?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I was with my first year in Spokane, yeah. And then kind of had a stallment there for almost a year, just sitting by your computer, mm-hmm. waiting on an email to see if we're going to get going. And obviously with things getting delayed, it felt like a lifetime, but we ended up getting going there and yeah, played a COVID season in Spokane with no playoffs. And it was definitely still, you know, a development for sure. But yeah, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard when you're not playing for anything, but you know, we had a good team there in Spokane, so it was good to get some, you know, more training in than any other year, and have a little bit of a development. And then, yeah, obviously it was nice to get things going again the next year with, you know, back to normal schedule and whatnot. But, yeah, it was definitely weird and unique for us, but, you know, you kind of have to roll with what you got, and we were fortunate enough to get a few games that year, so it was nice.
And I know you've got your own little playoffs here you got to worry about, but have you been following along with any of the Stanley Cup playoffs? You have a team you follow along with, some players you kind of key in on, or you just I'm focused in on Okotoks right now?
No, I've been watching.
Nice.
Obviously, you know, it's sad without the Flames being in, but
Calgary guy.
Yeah, so I was kind of hoping for a Canadian team, any team besides Edmonton. So
that's a good answer.
any team besides Edmonton, but I got a couple of buddies in the Dallas organization.
Sweet.
So I'm kind of hoping for them too. Obviously, not a great start with Vegas, but it's been exciting so far. I think this is the most competitive, you know, we've seen it in a long time. So
yeah, it's been a fun first round. I know the Canadian team's kind of here in a bit of a crossroads right now. They got some big games tonight here in Vancouver and Winnipeg, and obviously Edmonton down in Los Angeles. But Owen, all the best the rest of the way here. Hopefully you guys can get it done tonight, and then you know, we can win it at home there on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, and hopefully we can get a win.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much, Owen.
Take care.
Yeah, Owen McNeil, Okotoks Oilers forward. He's going to be with the taking on the Brooks Bandits tonight, Game 5. If you can make it down there, down to the Brooks Centennial Arena, 7 o'clock start for the Oilers and the Bandits. I know it was a tough, it was pretty much a blindsided seeing those five leave the AJHL and head to the BCHL. I know for people that don't know, the BCHL operates independently from Hockey Canada, meaning they don't have to recruit players necessarily within your provincial borders. You can expand. You can go out and get Americans. You can go out and get Europeans. You can get Albertans and whatnot. So that's kind of what Okotoks, Brooks, Black Falls, Spruce Grove. I'm drawing the other blank here for the other team that left. But, yeah, those are the five that kind of left here off to the BCHL to operate in their own independent Junior A league, separated from the AJHL. But, yeah, it was tough. I'm sure that was tough for a lot of guys getting blindsided from that. But thank you to the Okotoks Oilers for setting that chat up with Owen. Take a look at tonight's schedule. Got a few more minutes here. It is the Stanley Cup playoffs rolling on here with four games. At 5 o'clock, got a couple games. The big one in Nashville, Music City. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. It's going to be all yellow, I'm for sure there. We're kind of waiting to see what's Brock Besser's status heading into this one. It's going to be a tough one without him, and obviously no Thatcher Demko in Vancouver as well, as Nashville can maybe kind of take the bulls by the horn there in that series, and they can take a 2-1 series lead. That's at 5 o'clock on Sportsnet. As well at 5 o'clock on Sportsnet 360, the New York Rangers look for a 3-0 series lead over the Washington Capitals. The Capitals look like they had their playoffs there in game 81 and game 82 in the lead up. It feels like they just, they have completely just out to lunch here. I'm not saying they're not trying, but just they're so overmatched. Ovechkin is a little flyby there in game 2. I know he's not meant for his defensive prowess, but that was you know, his goal or his mess up there leading to that Keandre Miller goal that kind of salted that one away. there in game two. So that'll be at 5 o'clock in that one. 8 o'clock, couple games at 8 o'clock. Well, 8 o'clock and 8:30. We'll start in Denver between the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets. This one's on CBC and Sportsnet Plus. The Jets, you know, to the first two games, they haven't really looked like a team that is the higher seed in this one. They're lucky to have this series tied at 1-1. If in my humble opinion, Gorgiev did not have the top tip game that you would want from a goaltender in this postseason in game number one, and then game two, that's probably more of what you'd like. I don't know. Gorgiev is probably somewhere in between game one and game two. For Winnipeg, though, they need to get back to their style of play. It's not been a very good... They cannot play a track meet style of game with the Colorado Avalanche. You kind of get in that sense, Connor, as well. I know you're doing work. I'm going to ask you a question here if you've been following along with the Avalanche and Jets series, but you kind of get in that vibe that if Winnipeg can't play their Muckett 2-1, 3-2 style of game, very defensive, very heavy, they're not going to be long for this world against Colorado.
No, not at all. And I don't think anyone would have said after two games that Gorgiev is probably outplayed Hellebuck.
Which is hilarious because after game one,
exactly.
Hellebuck, you know, he just needed to make that extra save. And I will say, like, the late stages of game one, there was a lot of power play, a lot of garbage time goals that kind of made that game closer than it was. But game two, Hellebuck was not even close to what, you know, he's going to be the Vezina Trophy winner.
Yeah, no, the Jets, you need him to be better to have a chance. Especially against this high-powered Avalanche team that can seemingly score at will, even on the best goalie in the world currently in Hellebuck.
Yeah, bringing up the lines they had at practice yesterday. Nothing much change-wise for the Jets. It's kind of the same lineup that they were rolling out there in games one and two. This is the expected goals in this series for Colorado, 9.59. Winnipeg's is 4.64.
Oh, my. That highlights Gorgiev's game one, I guess.
Yeah.
Most of all, that is.
Winnipeg had the 2-1 lead. They had a chance, Kyle Connor, to hit off the post, make it 3-1. This is right after they killed the Cale Makar, or the 4-minute high stick on Cale Makar. And, from there, Colorado just took it, though they tied it. Then Zach Parise scores on Hellebuck's mess up. They're attempting a lot more shots, 161 to 108, 78 on net to 53. Their power play's clicking at 40%. Oof. Winnipeg's blocked 45 shots to Colorado's 26. Colorado needs to make this, or Winnipeg, sorry, needs to make this game absolutely boring. They need to make it heavy. That's the only way I feel like I'm worried they will be down 3-1 down 3-1 heading back to Winnipeg for a game five, but they worry me. And then tonight, 8:30, the Edmonton Oilers, they're in Los Angeles to take on the LA Kings. Good on the LA Kings there, winning that game, taking at least one in Edmonton. They needed to do that. Who knows what's going to happen tonight? I feel like the series got flipped on its edge there a little bit. LA's not going to let Edmonton go run and gun with them a lot. And we saw, you know, first ship without McDavid and Drysdale there in overtime. Kings score. So what's your read there with the Oilers and Kings?
I think it probably ends up how it has for the past 2 years. Oilers on top. But Kings
probably
just always seem to make things difficult.
They're going
to
make, they might make things a little bit tough here on the Edmonton Oilers. As well, I want to say that'll do it for the hockey picture. Toronto Blue Jays, they're on our airwaves tonight, 5 o'clock, 5:07, first pitch down at Rogers Center. Gavin Stone for L.A., Chris Bassett for Toronto. Shohei Ohtani, he's returning to Rogers Center. Well, he's not returning to Rogers Center. He's first time at Rogers Center since not coming to Toronto in free agency, using the Blue Jays as maybe a little extra leverage to get more money out of that Dodger organization. Ben Nicholson-Smith, I haven't read it, has an article up on sportsnet.ca. It's right on the homepage. Why booing Shohei Ohtani won't work. Boo Dodger Shohei Ohtani if you want. Just don't expect it to work. So, Shohei just, he lives off that stuff. And I feel like, you know, some boos there, he's going to take that first pitch swinging.
Yeah, probably. But I think it'll be... I think it'll be more for Blue Jays fans, more a
cathartic. Cathartic way of just like, hey, Shohei, you pissed us off. You spurned us. We're going to boo you for this weekend and then never boo you again.
Yeah, but it's almost like it's bigger than Ohtani, just the way the entire offseason went. Obviously, Ohtani's the big thing, but then didn't really spend a whole lot when they were clearly willing to shelve out
$700
million for Ohtani. And then just the start to the season, like this team is vexing, truly. Like, great pitching staff, but then just hard to watch because people like chicks dig the long ball, right?
Yep,
it's the old saying.
Like I say, like I've said it with GVP a few times, they've got the pitching and probably enough offense to be a wild card team. But come those playoffs, you need to hit the home run, you need to hit the long ball, you need to run into a few, you need a bloop and a blast to get it done. And that team has not shown it through the first month of the season. We've seen the top three in that order, Springer, Vlad, and Bo. They're all under 700 OPS right now. I know George Springer had the nice little game there, game three against the Royals. But yeah, got to get things right here in Toronto. And what better way to raise your stakes than getting the old LA Dodgers into town, everybody's World Series favorite. That'll do it for us on the big show. Very busy show today. It was a great show. I want to thank Ron McLean for some wonderful memories on the late, great Bob Cole. Frank Saravalli, our NHL insider from Daily Faceoff. He's out in Nashville covering the Predators and Canucks. Brent Cron, of course, joined us in studio. Kevin Smith from Gulf Alberta. Mark Noonan, CPL commissioner. And Owen McNeil, Okotoks Oilers forward. All those interviews are going to be up on our Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you to Connor. Pinch hitting here for GVP, making us sound oh so good. And also, you did a great job, buddy. Thank you for that. The Jeff Merrick Show is up next. I'm going to tell you, I do have a lineup. Elliot Friedman, this show going to be good. Elliot Friedman at 10:05. Jason Greger talking some Oilers at 10:35. And then John Bartlett at 11. He's on the call of the Jets and Avalanche tonight. He'll be at 11 o'clock listening to old Johnny Bartlett. And, of course, Dodgers Blue Jays at 5. And then tonight, game two, Wranglers and Roadrunners. Calgary up 1-0. They win tonight. They will have playoffs here in Calgary. They'll be taking on Coachella Valley, but they will get a playoff series back here in town. That'll be 8 o'clock with Sandra Priscina on the call. Whatever you do, have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Keep it locked. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.